Coming up, an election you probably won't vote in for an entity you've probably never heard of. That's right, it's the triennial vote for the Entrust Board, the majority shareholder of Vector Energy, Auckland's electrical lines company. But wait, before you turn over and go back to sleep, this time it's different. A consortium of climate campaigners and motivated professionals is challenging the comfortable incumbent alliance of CNR, formerly known as Citizens and Ratepayers, which has dominated the Entrust Board for the last 500 years. To explain what they're up to and what it all means for the climate, I'm joined by Rowan McMahon and Dewi Sakayan, candidates for the newly minted party, which is called More For You, Better For The Climate. Well, welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Vincent.
More For You, Better For Climate. I wonder what it could mean, Rowan. I guess you really didn't want to leave anyone guessing.
Well, I think it's fairly self-explanatory, but it is yeah, worth going through each of those points very briefly. How about that?
Well, I did wonder whether it could be an acronym. MFBIFIC, it doesn't really work, does it? It's not quite acronymable. But, I'm sure you will explain what it all means. But why don't we just go right back to the beginning? Dewi, what is Entrust? And what is its relationship to Vector?
Sure. Well, first of all, Entrust is a community trust that owns 75.1% of Vector, which means that
That's worth mentioning.
Which means that it's a major state shareholder of Vector Energy. Entrust plays a crucial role in our future. Particularly because Vector is a lines company that distributes electricity and gas to people's homes and businesses. Therefore, Vector and Entrust hold the key, really, in building the infrastructure necessary to electrify Auckland, solve energy poverty, and decarbonize Auckland.
Hmm. What is the connection, the direct connection? I know that 75% means it must have some influence at a board level. How many board members go on to the Vector board from Entrust?
Sure. So firstly, there are 5 Entrust trustees, and 2 of those trustees get to go on the Vector board. And so it's a bit, being part of Entrust is very influential in relation to Vector.
Mm-hmm. How many board members altogether on the Vector board, typically? I guess it may change.
There are 6.
6. Okay. So a third of the board is represented by Entrust. And so it does have an influence. That's quite interesting. And Rowan, what's been the history in terms of kind of style of contribution from Entrust? Have they been a quiet shareholder or an aggressive shareholder?
Well, not all of that's apparent to us from the outside, but I mean, it does seem that there have been a few ructions there over the years, some of which has made the media. In 2018, for example, there were independent directors on Vector's board who were quite highly regarded and who were appointed, you know, because they had those independent industry skills that the company thought would be worthwhile. Fast forward less than 12 months and those 2 independent directors resigned. We are also aware of some issues within Entrust itself in terms of the CNR representation. They have had turnover within their own ranks, and they've had former Entrust trustees who are part of the CNR cohort who have obviously fallen out with them and who have run as independents against CNR. So it hasn't been a cohesive team effort from them. And of course, we can talk about the specific policies and actions that they have taken over the years as well.
Okay. Well, why don't we? And then we'll come obviously to your platform and why you're standing. But CNR has typically been sort of centre-right. It's kind of national party and drag in local government drag. Is that a fair description?
I think it probably is on the whole. I mean, I think of the current slate of candidates that they have standing, all of them have ties to the National Party. 2 of the 5 are former National Party MPs, and the other 3 have National Party ties as well. One is a former board member of the National Party, for example. So it is aligned to that centre-right grouping. and presumably represents that constituency, perhaps not perhaps to the exclusion of some other constituencies.
And how would you describe their reign as trustees of the InTrust? What kind of policies have they adopted? Perhaps give them, play your straight bat, and then we can get into the politics of it. But how would you describe their decision making, or what they've committed to?
Well, they are the majority shareholder of Vector, so you can assume that if Vector is doing things that are transformative, then they're being done with the support of the majority shareholder. What we would observe from the outside is that there have been a range of interesting new and important innovations that Vector has trialed or piloted over the last, say, 5 or 6 years in particular, which have stalled or never got out of the starting gates. And that's the sort of thing that we're keen to change. Those are the sorts of practices where, because Vector does have such a pivotal role to play, particularly on fighting climate change, that we need to get on with it. This is the year, I've said this many times, when we must make emissions actually go down. It's possibly too late to do that in the case of the InTrust election, because it's not being held till October. But the owners of the monopoly electricity and gas network in Auckland have an absolutely pivotal role to play in that in future. And some of the innovations that I'm mentioning would be things that would be taking this in the right direction, and they haven't got out of the gates, possibly because they, cost money.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, over to you, Dewey. What do you stand for? Why are you doing this? What influence do you hope to make on Vector as a result of winning two places on their board?
Sure. Well, first of all, I am a lawyer and a climate activist, and I am running to be one of InTrust's trustees to include the youth's voice in a major catalyst in Auckland's decarbonisation story, and therefore our future. As I said before, and as Rohan mentioned already, InTrust plays such a pivotal role in determining, electrification of Auckland. And as young people, it's time that we actually include our voices in decision making, particularly when it comes to decarbonisation. So I really want to run so that we could start. First of all, we could include some fresh voice and perspective when it comes to the running of InTrust and our energy use really in Auckland. And on top of that, as we know, because of the rise of the youth's demand for climate action, I want to make sure that we can reduce climate litigation risk where it comes to focusing on what we can do now in terms of action so that we don't end up risking being sued later on.
Hmm. Okay, well, that's interesting. And Rohan, you talked about these innovations that were introduced and then not implemented. What were they?
Well, some examples would be bidirectional charging. There's a move that the electricity grids are doing around the world to becoming more distributed. When we started building reticulated electricity around the world, particularly in cities, it was coming from a place of generation that was outside the city, coming in one way and going to your home or your business. That's really changing with renewables becoming much lower cost. And also, as electricity has become more and more important in the household, as we've added more and more consumer appliances, as we've started to charge our EVs, for example, there is more of a need for distributed energy in the grid. And that could take the form of solar on your rooftop. It could take the form of a household battery. And bidirectional charging is one example of an innovation that we know Vector looked at and we know technologically should work. And it should be an important part of making our grid more resilient, which is obviously an important thing to Aucklanders. We had major outages from storms in 2018, and under climate change, we'll see more and more of those storms. So we need to see things like bidirectional charging get out there. We need to have the capability of having as many EVs in the city as we possibly can, because every EV is going to take emissions out of the atmosphere, and that's in net terms. We have to stop that growth in emissions that we're still seeing from fossil fuel vehicles, and so that's one example.
You mentioned EVs, and by now you would have thought that Vector would be installing charging stations all over the city, and you do see them pop up from time to time. But is that also an area of opportunity, Dewey, where you think Vector could take a leadership role?
Definitely. What we know, particularly from the living wage movement, Aotearoa, is that Aucklanders spend up to $6,800 in terms of transport. And the electrification of transport in Auckland is really crucial in terms of reducing our emissions, but also connecting our city. And so, as you say, we have seen a lot of charging points popping up all around Auckland. But what we need to focus here as well is that Vector plays a crucial role in building the infrastructure for the electrification of public transport. So it's not just private transport that's the key here. It's actually building the infrastructure for public transport so that we could have a better Auckland.
That infrastructure that lays down, you're asking a lot of Alliance Company, which is not an infrastructure company. Why are you expecting Alliance Company to show that kind of initiative and leadership?
Well, I think there's not one simple answer to climate change. Everyone's got a role to play, right? If you look at what Transpower said, they're the national grid operator, and they kind of plug into Vector at the city limits, if you like. They said that they're expecting the total electricity capacity for New Zealand to need to be roughly double what it currently is in 20 or 30 years' time. That's because of population growth. It's also because of mode shift from petrol-based vehicles to EVs. It's because of the kind of mass public transport that Dewey mentioned. It's because we just keep finding more and more things to do with electricity. So they do have a role to play. We're not saying they're the only role. For example, we'll clearly need more renewable energy, and that's not actually their job because they're not a generator. They are a distributor. But they also have roles to play around energy storage through batteries and grid resilience and demand management, which we think are all really important parts of a greener city, and will also give us better quality of life, frankly.
When you have met with, perhaps you haven't, but when you meet with Vector executives or what you know of the leadership team there, would they welcome your contribution to the board, or would they be resistant on the basis that you would be agitating for some kind of change?
Well, I think we're a pretty experienced team and quite a diverse team. We have a lot of experience that would be helpful and relevant around not just community engagement and climate, but also around infrastructure and capital management and financials, all of which would mean I would hope they would welcome the opportunity to work with us.
Do you get the feeling that there are initiatives that they want to crack on with and do interesting things, as many kind of executives would want, particularly on the, say, the engineering and the innovation side, they would like to give things a go, that the governance structure, or not so much the structure, the governance and leadership has stopped them from doing?
That's our perception, yes. Is that some things are being held back there. We've talked about unleashing Vector to do some of the good things, to commercialise things that they've trialled, and to accelerate their progress. Those are the sorts of things that we'd like to see.
I mean, one of the things you just mentioned before, Dewey, was the potential liability that Vector would carry into the future if it was not proactive on the climate front. Is that something, as a lawyer, that is a... how realistic is it? I've heard people talk about liability for inaction. Is that actually a realistic threat?
Well, definitely. And we've seen that not just in New Zealand, but globally, in terms of the rise of climate-related litigation. We see that right now in New Zealand. And really, I think that what's really important here to note is that this is the time for action and accountability. And before we start thinking of litigation as a last resort, we should be focusing on how to reduce that by acting now. And so the threat of litigation is always there for anyone, for any entity that plays a big role in acting towards climate change and acting towards protecting our futures. It's just a matter of how do we make sure that you're working with the community, that you're consulting with the youth, and making sure that you're doing everything that you can now so that you can reduce that risk in the future.
What would that look like if you were wearing your, I know you're no longer officially part of Generation Zero, but you really cut your teeth in terms of climate activism in Generation Zero. If Vector was to work with Gen Zero or other youth and climate organizations, what would that look like? What would you encourage them to do?
Sure. Well, while I was at Generation Zero, I was doing a lot of the private sector engagement work that we did there. In fact, we worked with big businesses such as Air New Zealand, Climate Leaders Coalition, which make up of all the companies that are responsible for about 50% of New Zealand's carbon emissions. And what I know from working through that campaign is that they support climate action. It's just a matter of how can we make sure that they're actually doing what they say they want to do instead of just saying that they want to do it for want of, you know, woke washing or green washing. And so what we've done with other businesses in the past is that we have actually directly engaged with them to formulate their strategy, to input some of what we think would be really important and key, not just for the youth, but also for their investors now. And that's the key thing that Entrust actually plays a big role of when it comes to Vector. Entrust can play a massive role in advocating and pushing for Vector to do those good things that Rohan mentioned. And so regardless of whether I wear my climate campaigner hat or Entrust trustee hat, it's still going to be the same advocacy role.
Okay. In your literature, you talk about, it's in your name, isn't it? Better for you, better for climate. You don't trade off climate action against economic success. In fact, you pair them. You say that by being more climate orientated and climate sensitive, you will deliver a better result. Can you explain that, Rohan? Normally, these things are delivered as a trade-off.
Yeah, well, I guess my worldview is that trade-off is no longer valid and that you're looking for win-win situations. The economy is a wholly owned subsidiary of the environment, and if we're mucking up the environment, then we are eventually mucking up the economy, even if maybe in the short term that effect might not be apparent. One example of that to me is around the area of energy poverty. We, at the moment, you know, New Zealand has had rising electricity prices, but we also spend an awful lot of our money on fossil fuels in transport. And if you count energy usage as including electricity for heating as well as vehicular transport, which is primarily through fossil fuels, we're spending an awful lot of money on fossil fuels, driving emissions up, and we can, through Vector, and therefore through Entrust, we can actually save households money, put money back into their pockets and decarbonize at the same time. Now, there's, to some extent, that's happening already. The government is pushing its fee bait proposal, but we see that as something that Entrust and Vector could be actively supporting. You have much lower running costs on an EV than you do on a petrol-based vehicle. And so we are working to sort of form our ideas on how that process could be accelerated. We have comparatively low uptake of EVs in Auckland at the moment. And if you're looking at the household heating side, Auckland has the second highest rate of people saying that they don't turn on the heating in their house because of the high cost of the heating in New Zealand. So this is not because it's warm, not because we're in the northern part of the North Island, because they say they can't afford it. And, you know, I chair a charity that supports many vulnerable people who will turn up routinely to our offices in wintertime asking for blankets because they can't afford to turn the power on and or don't want to leave it on for very long. And so climate and energy poverty work together. And because of the pivotal role that the electricity network plays in addressing both of those things, over time, that actually should make a more profitable Vector. That should actually allow us to increase dividends from Vector and therefore to put more money, even more money, back into householders' hands.
I guess what I'm hearing you saying is that a thriving electricity-based economy rather than a fossil fuel-based economy has got to help Vector succeed, given its, as you say, the monopoly deliverer of electricity in the Auckland city area, at least. Sort of hard not to follow that logic, really, isn't it? That a vibrant economy based around electricity, a monopoly supplier of electricity, those two things could go together a little bit like, I don't know, the airport or the port.
Seems fairly straightforward, doesn't it, when you look at it in that sense?
It really does. And so you're confident that you could say taking climate action, decarbonising the economy, shifting to greater use of electricity in the city is going to deliver a higher dividend. And the dividend presumably is the thing that motivates people to vote. Is that your hunch about how the politics of this works?
Well, we know that it's not just the dividend that people care about when it comes to voting for interest. If anything, the dividend is just one of the many issues that a lot of people care about when it comes to this. There's also the privatization issue of mm-hmm. Vector, as well as the dividend. However, one key thing that you mentioned there that, as we say, is very logical, is that if we start investing on better ways of running, distributing energy so that people don't go without, then that's going to be better for climate, for energy poverty or hardship, as well as over time building more capital for Vector. And so the dividend, as we know, over the years have actually decreased. It's decreased from $350 to $280, and that's an annual spend. However, if you compare that to the annual spend of households for electricity, which is about $3,700 per annum, then the $280 of dividend is actually a very small beer. And so that's something that is very that's very important for the wider Auckland, the constituents of the Entrust District need to understand. And we're working very hard to educate the people who support us and those who have never heard of Entrust, never heard of the dividend, or just see it as a check that comes, you know, once a year, that this is actually something that's more important than just a yearly check. This election is going to really matter in terms of building, making or breaking our future.
Just by the by, what do you think the dividend should be?
Well, it's difficult to say off the top of my head, Vincent, but I mean, it has been around that sort of $300 mark that Dewey mentioned for over a decade. It kind of limped its way up from the low 300s towards about 370 or 380, I think was the highest it got, and then dropped down to 280, as Dewey mentioned. So it's not coming close to covering people's bills or even the lines component of people's bills, and nor should it. But it could be a decent chunk above where it is today over a period of time.
Okay. Now, tell me about the campaign. Maybe first of all, tell me about who is in the party, More for You, Better for Climate. Who are the five candidates?
Sure. So the five candidates that we have under More for You, Better for Climate are firstly Rowan McMahon. We've got Lance Wiggs as well, who heads the Climate Venture Fund in Punakaiki Fund. We've got Leon Wijon, who is a Māori business consultant. He's worked as a partner for Deloitte and works as an auditor. He's got a lot of connections in his iwi, as well as a massive family that he cares about who are actually climate activists like myself too. We've got Emma McInnes, who is the co-founder of Women in Urbanism. She used to also be a campaigner for Generation Zero and advocates primarily for good and just urban design that caters not just for women, but for the future of Aotearoa. And then we've got myself, Dewey Sakayan, who's a litigation lawyer and a climate activist. So we are the five people running as part of the ticket, More for You, Better for Climate.
Very good summary there. It's almost like you'd practiced it. I think that you're really getting you're getting into the swing of this thing. how does one go about camp?
We've talked almost every week, and honestly, as a young campaigner, I feel so welcomed but also empowered by the people who are running alongside me. As we know from the last, even from the last decade that CNR has been in the reins of Entrust, this level of diversity, professionalism, but also just love for acting on things that matter to us, such as climate change, such as energy poverty. That's something that's always inspired me every time we go for talks. And I think what I love so much about the people who I'm running with is that we're all here because we know that there's work that needs to be done. And so even though we are all very busy people with our full-time jobs, we are still very keen to put in the work that's necessary to unleash Vector and transform Auckland.
How did it start? How did you five get together? What did you, are you all drinking buddies, or did you happen to be at the same event and all look at each other at the same time?
No, the interesting part here is that we've all just met via Teams or Zoom, sorry, because we put this together while we were in lockdown. So Emma and myself know each other through Generation Zero and many climate activism. I know Leon's son through climate activism as well. But really my story in terms of being part of this is that Lance, Rohan, and a few others who are very keen to start working on the electrification of Auckland actually got together in terms of acting, okay, there's this important elections that's happening in October. We need people who are professional, who is highly qualified, but also we need diversity so that we could inject that freshness that Entrust desperately needs. And so together they have contacted a lot of the climate and transport advocacy groups just to, you know, look at who will be, who's keen to help out, who's keen to support, but also who's keen to run. And there are a lot of great people who have put their hands up, and the five of us were the ones who were picked to run as part of More For You, Better For Climate. Rohan,
how are you going
to have you met us?
Yeah, well, look, I work with Lance, so we know each other pretty well. I also know Leon. He happens to live really near me, and his kids and my kids are both climate strikers. I love what the climate strike movement has done to sort of add extra energy to the campaign that is just so desperately necessary. And yeah, I've been lucky to meet Emma and Dewey along the process of many Zoom calls and during lockdown. So it's a strange process, but feels like a really necessary one.
Absolutely. How do you go about campaigning? What are you going to do? Do you walk around and put letters in people's letterboxes? Is it a digital thing? Have you got a party machine behind you?
I think it'll be mainly digital. We are still under level 4 conditions at the moment, so it's entirely digital at the moment. But I'm a believer in using the technology the modern way, and I don't personally think that too many people are influenced by billboards and the like. But I guess we'll see.
But also I think to add on that, the key thing that we are really focusing on here too is that CNR has always won by, you know, focusing on the usuals, which is to talk to their constituents, to talk to the people who think like them, and sometimes just win because no one else votes. But what we are doing here is more than just that. We actually want to educate the people about what Entrust is about, why it's important for a future, and what they can do now to build on that, to enable Entrust to actually do what it's supposed to do for Vector. And so a lot of our campaigns, on top of just being digital and things like that, is all about what is Entrust? Why are we doing this? What is it that must be done? And so if you follow our journey through our social media handles, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we've got our website up and running now, you'll see that our way of campaigning really caters to one, educating the public, but also to young people who, you know, may not know that, you know, the bill that they have their name to, even though they're tenants, is actually their ticket to voting for Entrust trustees. And so in that sense, it's all about making sure that we as a community take back Entrust and push for what needs to be done for our future. And I know it sounds so campaigny, but in my head as a young person, I feel like that's really important, because if I'm honest, I don't think anyone around me really knew what Entrust was up until we started running and started talking about it.
I think you've said it really well, Dewey. When 7 out of 8 eligible households are not voting, it's very clear that you need to try to talk to some of the 7 out of 8. And so that engagement around how does the electricity sector work? What's Transpower? What's a grid? What's a gentailer? This sort of basic education is really important. And then we can talk about Entrust and what the role that it plays as the majority owner of Vector. And, you know, for people who are into climate and who isn't these days, you know, there's an incredibly powerful climate story to be told. And hopefully some people will listen.
Every so often, people bring up the prospect of the Blue-Green Alliance, a green-motivated, business-friendly political party. Is this the beginning of a Blue-Green Alliance of some sort? Would you naturally incline yourselves towards being capitalists but wearing a climate hat?
I guess I'm politically neutral myself. I mean, I'm progressive, so I'm very happy to have that label put on me, but I'm not a member of a political party. I do believe that being a good business person and being pretty green should totally go hand in hand these days. And there's an awful lot of people who think that way these days. So, you know, but I wouldn't call myself a blue-green. That would be a stretch.
How about you, Joey? Does this feel like the beginning of a career in politics for you?
If I'm honest, I never really thought of myself as someone who would be a politician or anything like that. If anything, running to be one of Entrust trustees, I don't see that as even though it may seem quite political, I don't see that as political at all. I think it's just doing the right thing and using my skills in whatever way possible to make those decisions happen. I'm on the same boat as Rohan. I'm quite politically neutral as well. So I'm not part of any political parties. But I do believe that the way forward is for sustainably develop our economy, but also to transition towards electrification. And so whether that means that we need to be advocates and campaigners within the boardrooms, I'm more than happy to be that if possible. Whether that means being on the streets, I'm happy to do that too, and I've done that before. So I don't think there's really the labels of whether you're blue-green or red or green. It doesn't really bother me, if I'm honest. What I care about is that do we have the right people making those decisions?
Very good. Well, if people want to support more for you, better for climate, first of all, how do they find you online? And tell us about when the election is and how do you actually go about voting?
Sure. So the way to find us would be to, firstly, if you want to look through our website, it is moreforyoubetterforclimate.nz. We're also on Twitter and Instagram. That's more for AKL or more for Auckland. So that's where you can find out more of our updates and our policies and supports and also who we are. In terms of voting, this will all happen by post. So please keep an eye out for the Entrust mail starting on the 14th of October and finishing on the 29th of October. So it's all happening by post. So that's the way to vote. The other important thing as well is that people whose names are on the power bills can vote. And so a lot of young people have asked me and a lot of my friends have already asked me, you know, I don't own a house. Will I be able to still vote? Like now that I know that there's such a thing as the Entrust elections that happens every 3 years, am I even eligible to vote? And I say, look, everyone whose names are in their power bills can vote. And so young people, those who rent, if your name is on the power bill, you can vote. I would really also push for any young people listening to this podcast to also, you know, talk to their parents, right? Like this is what we do as young people. We push for things to happen because we know that sometimes decision making happens in the level of those who are aged more than us or are older than us. And so push your parents, right? Ask them, do they know what Entrust is? Do they know how important it is for our future, for your future? And vote with them or tell them to vote and help them actually choose and educate them about who are the people running and why they're running.
And we also welcome people getting in touch with us because, you know, we'd love to have people sharing our content and our material, asking us questions, getting that engagement going. It's really important, as I mentioned, with the 7 out of 8, to just get the corridor going, because that's going to build people's awareness and willingness to vote. And just a clarification, really for historical reasons, Entrust voters are within Central Auckland and East Auckland and South Auckland, but not West Auckland or Northern Auckland, north of the Harbour Bridge. So it's a strange thing. Not every Aucklander gets to vote. It is the urban area around the Central Isthmus down to Pakuranga and South Auckland down to Papakura. So it's not quite everybody in Auckland. So it's just one of those strange things that we have to try and build that education about, is that some of us get to vote and your name needs to be on the power bill. Find out who your power bill is. Are you in the Entrust area? You'll see the voting forms and hopefully people give it a go.
Okay, great. Well, Rowan McMahon and Dewey Sakayan, thank you so much for joining me, and good luck for the campaign. Now, full disclosure to listeners, just in case you didn't realise, I work with Rowan and Lance. That's how I found out about this. I'm not involved with the campaign, but it's fair to say I'll be voting for more for you, better for climate. But there you go. So thanks so much for joining me, Rowan and Dewey, and all the best for the next few weeks.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your time, Vincent.
Thanks so much, Vincent. Appreciate it.